Good morning, or as they say in Greece, Kalimera. We heard that word a lot on this trip. Thank you for your prayers. We had a wonderful, wonderful time, and Lord willing, probably sometime in December, I'll be sharing just through photos and testimonies about the biblical sites that we were able to see in Greece and in Turkey. It was just an amazing trip, and very much appreciate your prayers for that. By the way, my name is, if we haven't met before, my name is Doug Bozong, lead pastor, and I will be down here along with our speaker, Bill Braun, after the service and love a chance to meet you. Meanwhile, we have Connect cards, hopefully, in the pew rack in front of you. And if you would just take a few moments, write a few little bit of data about yourself, you can give that to me after the service or one of our ushers. And we'd love to also the opportunity to pray for you, whether you've been coming just recently or for a long time. We'd love the opportunity to pray for you if you have a prayer need this week. Are you looking forward to Wednesday as much as I am? Yeah, when we landed in Newark, my phone about blew up with all the political texts we had I'd accumulated over 10 days. Seriously, we have a responsibility, don't we, as Christians, to be salt and light in this world. Amen? And you know, not all countries have the opportunity to vote for who that's going to represent them. Isn't that true? Many Christians, as we're going to pray this morning for the persecuted church, do not have that privilege. We have that privilege. But sadly, statistics are showing that Christians this year, this season, are less interested than ever before in casting a vote. I hope you're not one of them. Please, make the effort. Plan your day on Tuesday. If you haven't voted already by mail-in voting, plan your day so that you can be that salt and light that Jesus calls us to be. Another thing to look forward on Wednesday is that we are going to have our fellowship meal. And I understand it's going to be a turkey dinner. So, man, you don't want to miss that, do you? But please sign up so Colleen and her staff know how many to prepare for. That's this Wednesday beginning at 5:45 p.m. And then, ladies, not this week, but next week on the 14th, a Thursday, they're having a Christmas joys theme for the ladies' fellowship. And it says, less stress holiday cooking. That sounds good. Less stress. I'm all for that. Lindsay Heller is going to share about that as well as Tina Lehman. So plan on that, ladies, and please sign up as well. Before we go to prayer, just something, this just came up this morning. It's not in your bulletin, but Tuesday night here at CFC. Oh, is it tomorrow? Oh, I thought you were saying Tuesday night. But there's football tomorrow night, lad. I'm kidding. Tomorrow night, we're going to have a special time of prayer here at CFC over in the ALC where we usually meet for prayer meeting for the election, for our country, for things like that. Right, lad? Lad Martin is going to head that up. So please take some time tomorrow evening and join us here. You can just drop in when it suits you and leave when it suits you. You don't have to be here for the whole hour. But I hope that you'll join us in prayer. Now, would you bow with me as I lead us in prayer? Lord, we thank you this morning, as we just sang, for your great love. And none of us would be here this morning apart from your love. Lord, you are good, you are gracious, and you are merciful. And Lord, we think in a special way this morning of two very significant realities. First of all, this is International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. And so we remember our persecuted brothers and sisters around the world in a special way today. In America here, to a large extent, we don't need to deal with outright persecution, though certainly anti-Christian sentiment is on the increase. But we pray, Lord, for your special sustaining strength and encouragement for all who are suffering because of their faith in Jesus. May they be encouraged to keep on keeping on and to provide a bold and loving witness to your grace in their lives, especially before their enemies. Second, Lord, as we just mentioned, there is an election this Tuesday. And we recognize, Lord, that you are the one who in your sovereignty sets up kings and removes them, as Daniel prayed. And Lord, that there is no authority in existence that has not been established by you, as Paul teaches us in Romans 13. But nevertheless, all of us who name you as Lord of our lives have a responsibility before you to both pray and to act in ways that honor you, including exercising the great privilege that we have as citizens of a free and democratic country to vote, and to vote in accord with your truth. And to that end, Lord, we humbly beseech you this morning that in your mercy, that you would raise up men and women who seek to honor your truth. Lord, help us to be discerning as we vote. And Lord, no matter the outcome of Tuesday's elections, I pray that we would continue to remain fully committed to representing you as your ambassadors, always and everywhere. More at home, Lord, we pray for our brother Dwayne Miller, who's going to have a very delicate back surgery this Thursday. We ask for your hand upon him, upon those who operate on him, and we pray for a full and speedy recovery. And finally, Lord, we pray for our brother Bill Braun, who is going to bring us the word this morning. Lord, we pray that your anointing would be upon him, that you would be glorified through his exposition of your word, and that our hearts and our lives would be encouraged and impacted because of his message today. We ask this all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Well, Dr. Bill Braun and I have known each other for, 21 years, Bill? At least that. We both began we both first met at Baptist Bible Seminary in Clark Summit, which sadly no longer exists, just went out of business this year. Someone said, do you have to give your degree back? I said, only if they give me my money back, you know, then I'll give my degree back. But anyway, Bill is going to come. Bill and Denise, his wife, who's sitting next to him right now, they have been CFC-supported missionaries for, I don't know, about 14, 15 years. But Bill's going to share a little bit about his ministry. Come on up, Bill. And then share the word of God with us. Let's give a warm CFC welcome to Dr. Bill Braun.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's great to be here with you today. This is working. Excellent. Wonderful to be with you again today and to be able to share with you at 8:15 in the morning. You guys are serious here. I mean, this is a serious bunch. Getting up and going, that's great. That's great. And we're going to do it three times. And I can feel for Doug having to preach three times.
You're having a wardrobe malfunction back here.
Uh-oh. Look at that. Look at that. My wife probably told you.
Like you had a tail.
You know, wives are like that. I got my spots off this morning and everything. But it is wonderful to worship with you. Songs are just wonderful, thinking about all that God has done for us. We have come back from Moldova recently. You'll have to come on a Wednesday night. Pastor Doug said I could share, and we'll show you all the photos. But the Lord has blessed. Over the last 2 years, we were in Moldova, helping the refugees and helping the church planters. We have a lot to share, a lot of photos. But the greatest thing is to preach the gospel, isn't it? I mean, I knew I had some evangelistic, there's not a gift of evangelism. Actually, we're all to evangelize, right? There's an office of evangelist. That's a little different. But 50 people from Ukraine sitting there twice a week, and I know they're not saved. They don't answer the questions correctly, right? The two EE questions and so forth, how to get to heaven, why are you going to heaven? So what a joy to work with them. They come back for more food, more just bags of food, and do Bible studies with them. People got saved, not as many as we'd like to see, as always, but what a joy. And then church planters, and we'll tell you more about that, training church planters, which those opportunities we didn't have in Russia. We planted two churches and did rehabs, and you guys helped with all those things and blessed us, but now we're not in Russia. We'd like to be there, but a little difficult, as you might imagine. In Russia right now, we're the unfriendly nation, right? That we're not so welcome. But did finish my degree. Finally, we had a running joke, like, Bill, when are you going to finish? You know, there's this thing called quality, not quantity, right? So, you know, I took 20 years probably, actually, started a PhD, ended up a doctor of ministry, but wrote a book actually about salvation. So when I sing all these words we sing, I mean, I thoroughly found all the words in the Bible, the New Testament, about salvation. Every single concept, every single word that we understand, and maybe even a few things you didn't think about. I wrote a book about that for my dissertation, hoping to have it translated into Russian. They struggle with some issues in the Russian-speaking world with salvation doctrines and so forth, even amongst the Protestants. So anyhow, we'll be getting that to you. I haven't finished because the school closed. I had to get it done this summer very quickly, put my conclusions on and so forth. So praise the Lord for those things that we can do. But we want to talk to you today about evangelism. Corporate evangelism is the title of the sermon. But when we think of evangelism, what do we think of sometimes? Sometimes. What's the first thing that comes to your mind? Is it, yes, let's go. Yeah, let's do it. Let's go out. Let's share the gospel, right? I mean, we have to actually share the gospel, right? Not just think about it or not just pray. Does that excite you? But sometimes, what can it do? Guilt, maybe? Like, maybe I don't do that enough? Has that ever happened? It should. That's in my life. Like, I haven't been sharing the gospel as much as I could or should. Or Paul even talked about, I was reading, that if he has to do it, he's compelled to do it, and even if it's involuntary, it's just what he should do, and he does that. But I want to talk a little bit about, and we will get into a few things about individual. When we think of evangelism, we think of us sharing with our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, in a godly way, in a good way that God would lead us. But also as a group, as a body of Christ, how is God working through us? And I've defined this as just the sum total positive evangelistic thrust, the atmosphere of a congregation, your congregation, for instance, which in turn produces a healthy place for unbelievers not only to find the Lord, but to grow. And as pastors, as elders, as your heart, I'm sure, is all for that, right? You want to be a place where people feel like, through your Bible studies, through your small groups, through everything you do, when they come in contact, they're like, wow, the Lord is here. The Lord is in our midst. And so we'll be talking about that. And, you know, we might not think about that as much. We might think, you know, God's just not working through that. But how does God work with us? We know from the book of Revelation, as Jesus is speaking to John, that he knows your deeds. I know your deeds. I know your toil and perseverance, that you cannot tolerate evil men you put to test. Now, this you, in all these scriptures and Revelation there, that's not just a small group of people. Is it like two or three super Christians? Or somehow God, through that candlestick illustration, he's in their midst. And he knows, like, the whole congregation somehow. And he can know the spirit of what's going on in each church here in Turkey. So here we see that he can even judge them. Wake up. Strengthen the things that remain. We're about to die. I've not found your deeds complete. So even as a church, Christian Fellowship Church, your deeds aren't complete. There's things still that God wants you to do and complete. And he'll be pleased, right, as we walk in those, as we fulfill his will. And so we need to be aware of that. So how does that work? How does corporate evangelism work in our lives? And we're going to be heading to one section especially as we move through here. Now, God had to prepare them. We think of corporate, we think of togetherness. In our culture, which can seep into our lives, we're individuals, we're individualistic. That can creep into our lives, can it? And that's not so good. We don't need each other. You know, we don't need fellowship with other churches too. We're big enough, right? High Point's the same way too. Pretty big church up the road here. You know, we don't need anything. We're independent, and we want our kids to do that, right? We want them to grow up and move out, and you know, and multiply and be fruitful and so on. That's wonderful, right? In Russia, sometimes they don't have those opportunities. They have to house them all in these apartments and small apartments. But in Christianity, it can be a sad thing. And what was Jesus doing with his disciples for 3.5 years? What were they learning? They were learning how to love each other, weren't they? That was one of the main goals, wasn't it? As they walked together, talked together, watched all these miracles. But you know, they had to camp out. Can you imagine? Camping out on the road there, making a fire, making some tents, going from town to town. Not very comfortable. What a place to grow. What a place to learn about humility, about loving each other, putting up with each other. And so in our own lives, we have to be aware of that. We can be so independent that we don't need the church. And this can choke out our love for God and others. It can happen in my life. We're comfortable. We have everything we need. And I got my football game. I got whatever it might be. And I got my schedule. Life's good. And yet, where's the church involved in this? Where is God involved with us? Jesus, obviously, the example of washing their feet and so forth, showing that example. But moving ahead about evangelism, we know we need God in our lives. We know from the book of Acts that Jesus said, you're not prepared, you need to wait, because soon I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He's going to baptize you. Remember Peter denying the Lord three times. He didn't have the power to even stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ, who he promised he would never deny him. And he denied him, but he needed the Holy Spirit, didn't he? And we have the Holy Spirit, do we not? Actually, from my paper, 108 times, for sure, you have the Holy Spirit. It repeats that 108 times, different verses in the New Testament. So that's by definition, if you don't have the Spirit, right, you're not a child of God. But the Spirit actually empowers us, right? You will receive power to witness. And that's the biggest thing, isn't it? Fear. Fear, not knowing how they're going to react. I don't want to offend anybody. That prohibits us, doesn't it? If we're honest. We're afraid. And although we should not be ashamed, right? Like Paul, we should not be ashamed. We need to get over that. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do, is doing in our lives to give us, and from a heart of love and with much wisdom and much care. And they can sense that, can't they, by the way? Unbelievers and almost believers, which is not a believer, but they know and they see that you just genuinely care. We've met several people, just we've been buying things, you know, a car, actually used car, and a exercise bike, and just wonderful conversations that would just, these people were like prepared. My wife said, we got to buy more stuff, you know, and through Marketplace and everything. We got to get out there and evangelize. But seriously, Timothy up in Reading there, and then Joe, and it was Catholic background that stopped and is really thinking about what an opportunity. What an opportunity. And it's so easy to get started, by the way. This is a little bit on personal evangelism. You just bring up who you are, what you do a little bit, and if they're interested, boy, he said, I'm Catholic. I grew up in all these Catholic schools. He started confessing where he's at right now, which is nothing, and he has a child. And so we're praying for Joe and want to follow up with him. But God is available. God is working to give us what we need. And he said, you shall be witnesses. And by the way, obviously, missions, world missions. You have a great program. You do so much for the world. And this is your part in it when you support missionaries. And they're going to the remotest part of the earth. You don't need to send everybody, right? You wouldn't have a church here if you sent everybody. But thank God. Thank you all for your support for our life, for all that you do with all your missionaries. And it's being fulfilled as they go to the uttermost parts of the earth. So key things for your evangelism personally, obviously, it does take that, right? As we're here corporately, but then we're going to go out for a whole week. Maybe you'll be back for some services. But as you go out, what do we need to be doing? Praying, obviously, interceding. Maybe, get this, maybe nobody is praying for your neighbor. Nobody. We know in Russia, one in every 500 people is saved. We knew that nobody was praying for these people. except for maybe you. Maybe you have some relatives, maybe you have some friends. You're the only person going to God saying, save this person, help this person, begging God. And then you need to do some things to love them, to show, do some good deeds, and call them, talk to them, meet some needs, and be in their lives. But then obviously at some point, we're asking God to open up their lives to deal with the gospel through you. Some of my favorite methods, just to encourage you, you don't need to, I used to do the EE outline, okay, and the EE program, which is fine, but I've discovered even, you know, it's already not, doesn't exist, but it can be like too forceful, and you pray with me after this. Anyhow, it's kind of this canned approach, and you have this sermon you do for 20 minutes, and then will you pray with me, and you know, I'm not into that anymore. Because we had a lot of prayers, and then no, they don't come to church anymore, and they don't want to talk to you anymore. But so you have to be careful. So one of my favorite, if you're serious, read the Bible. Read the Gospel of John. Let's get together every week and discover what you're learning there. Read a chapter a day, and then you follow up with them. What I mean, you know how to pray for them. They're reading the Word of God, and maybe even contact with you every day. They do this in Russia, where they, through WhatsApp and other things, they show what they're learning. And you give them an assignment. What does the Bible say about how to get to heaven? So you're just pointing to the Word of God. Isn't it enough? Isn't the Word of God enough to save them? We don't need to. No, we can preach the gospel, and we can use all the methods, and that's great too. Maybe there's circumstances on the bus and on the airplane where it's all appropriate. The gospel saves people. But I'm just saying, like, you have an opportunity to work with somebody. You want to follow up on them. You want to be able to meet with them and get to know them, and not just one time, right? So that's a great tool. Obviously, even study about the prophecies of Christ and the proof. That's the greatest proof that the Bible's the Word of God, that you can show. I've shared this with former KGB agents and one agent and other people in Russia, and for a person who's not quite sure if the Bible's the Word of God. I read through 8 or 9 of those prophecies about Jesus from the Old Testament, proving, right? Paul proved from the Scripture, the Old Testament, that Jesus is the Christ. And so that their minds can be like, wow, yeah, how can that be? The place, why, where, when, how? It was all written beforehand. It's a powerful, and we're preaching Christ, by the way. And I did that with the refugees every time, 15 minutes. About Christ from the Old Testament, preach Christ, and then 15 minutes from the Gospel of John. Powerful, powerful way to work with people in the gospel is preached through your life. But I want to finish with, I'm used to the half hour because I did that in Russia, Moldova for 2 years. But so finish with this scripture that you're familiar with. We're talking about corporate evangelism. There is individual evangelism. But as a body, God is in our midst. God is working through your church and wants to use you as a body. And so let's just look and remind ourselves, Acts chapter 2, Peter had just preached. There were 3,000 baptized, and we're going to see how they lived. And just remind ourselves, a lot of people find the 5 purposes of the church here. Like, what are we to then do? Okay, we're saved. Now what? And so let's look at several of these and apply them to our lives and to our church. And it says here that so then those who had received his word were baptized, and there were added about 3,000 souls. That's a lot of souls. I'm sure you could not handle it, right? 3,000 souls, it would be a good problem to have. But we think, what disorganization? How can they follow up on all that and make sure everything's going well? Well, look what happened. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. They had Peter and James and John and others preaching, teaching publicly. What a wonderful experience. They were with Jesus 3.5 years. But they only had the Old Testament, too. Can you imagine? They didn't have our New Testament, and yet they were able to learn enough and tell the stories of Christ and be encouraged, and they were going to be then in the process of writing the New Testament. And so discipleship, they were feeding on the Word of God, whether it was publicly there or then in homes later. So the Word of God, obviously discipleship is key thing. Go and make disciples. What is your plan for those things? What is your passion for that? If it's just for evangelism and you're not excited about then working with these souls one-on-one, and it's not just, you know, fill out these materials on your own, if you're not equally as excited about that, there's a problem. Okay, we're not into check marks, right? Like, oh, so many people got saved, right? and through my ministry, and we want to then help them. That should be our passion, as it was Christ's passion, to nurture the disciples. And we should just love that. So that movie, The Forge, by the way, it's about that. That new movie that came out. But, so next, look at this. And to fellowship, and to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And as we read through the rest of the passage, we see that these believers gathered then together. It wasn't just Sunday morning that they gathered there in the publicly in the temple and heard the sermons. They wanted, and they did meet house to house, and prayed, and worshiped. Small group, right? I mean, they had small groups. And fellowship together, koinonia, the sharing, literally sharing. Is that your heart too? Yeah? That it's not just discipleship, not just good sound doctrine, which we're all for, which we all love to have in the sound, but do you love to fellowship? And you do it here on Sunday, and you do it in your Sunday school classes, and I saw your church is very oriented towards that. Praise the Lord. And you have these community groups and so on and so forth. And those are all wonderful opportunities, and you should be involved in those. And what's your heart about that? Do you love that? And then beyond that, practice hospitality, Peter said. That's not an option. Practice hospitality. Whether you're meeting publicly, whether you're having people into your home, you're going to other people's homes. That's a great thing, isn't it? That you can get to know one another more intimately. New people that come into your midst. Do you have an eye for that? Do you have a burden for that? I know people that get caught up into these cults and these weird things because they're so friendly. This guy, Tim, he's a Jehovah's Witness. I'm sure they're super friendly towards, they're such nice people. And they probably invited him and are super loving and they're so nice. But what about us? Do we have that going on with our congregation? Do we reach out? Are we aware of visitors? Are we even with each other? Obviously with each other. And so we can make excuses. Maybe there could be a weaker link in your family that doesn't like to do that, and I know how the ladies like to have everything in order and everything nice, but we need to practice hospitality. There's no two ways about it. And moving on, everyone, verse 43, everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. Many wonders and signs were taking place. All those who had believed were gathered together, had all things in common. Began selling their property and possessions, which I don't advise. That was, by the way, I believe they're extra properties and things and not just living like a commune, even in that day. But what's going on here? Ministry, serving each other, like aware of needs and caring. And I'm sure your church is oriented that way. You want to meet one another's needs. And so that should be the pastor's passion, like to actually, you have gifts, right? You have spiritual gifts that God has implanted to each one of you. Are you using your gifts in ministry here at the local church, or are you just coming on Sunday, and I did my duty, and I give my tithe, and I'm feeling pretty good. Well, what about your spiritual gifts? How are you serving one another in love? What are you doing for Jesus in the local church context? And I'm sure your pastors would be more than willing to discover your spiritual gifts, find a place for you in ministry, and maybe create some new ministries even that can happen in your community or through your life. Or it's just a personal thing you're doing with people. It doesn't have to be some kind of official big ministry, does it, to be a ministry. But you need to be pursuing that. And with your, I'm sure your pastors would love to talk to you about that. But finally here, we're talking about evangelism. It doesn't say evangelism here. So are we concerned? I mean, that's usually the fifth thing that people talk. The purpose of the church is to preach the gospel, which we all say, amen. We should tell others, right, the good news. And that can change their life. It does change their lives. Well, they were continuing on. They were praising God. By the way, worship. They worship the Lord. God is seen through our worship, isn't it? Aren't people, they can see God through our worship as we enjoy the Lord. But the Lord, look at this. The Lord was adding to their number day by day those who are being saved. How is that? How could that happen? Why did that happen? I believe because they were obeying the Lord. It was all new. It was all wonderful, right? It was all so exciting, this transformation. But people could see them. These Jewish people whose hearts were so cold, actually, because they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, even seeing all the miracles, hearing about all the miracles. And they saw this new community, and they loved one another. They were ministering to one another. They were worshiping the Lord in truth. They were singing the Psalms. They were amazing new community that was just like, wow, this can really happen? I would like to be a part of that. And they started to listen, and they heard, and faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, and they were saved. And the Lord was working. So that's what he's doing with you. As people come into your lives individually, come into your lives corporately, the prayer is that they would see Christ, that they would be saved, and become a part of your body. So may the Lord richly bless you. And again, asking yourselves, what am I doing? There's probably a weak spot. Okay, I preached five things to do, right? Fellowship and worship. And there's probably, God knows, I don't know, but a weak spot in your congregation might be fellowship. Maybe, who knows, maybe the evangelism part, where we're just not interacting enough with the world. In a good way, right? So that's I'm sure your pastors are praying about that, and elders and concerned, but individually, right? You should be praying about that. And where am I to fit into that? And how, as a congregation, how are we doing? Where are we weakest? And fix that hole, the lowest hole that can help you be strengthened as a body for the Lord's glory. So again, thank you so much for this time, and have you finish in prayer.
Thank you, Bill, for that challenge. And as I was listening to Bill, I was thinking, yeah, who do I know in my life that's not saved? Well, I know my neighbor across the street. I know people in my family. I know people I meet here in the community sometimes. Am I praying for them? Am I praying for them consistently? Am I seeking opportunities to share Christ with them? I mean, we're all in the same. Bill talked about the fact, you know, I could do more, right? And we all say we could do more. Amen. So think about who you know, who you'd cross paths with. And hopefully you have a prayer list of people you're praying for. And then pray, Lord, use me. Here I am, as Isaiah said, right? Send me, Lord. That's the spirit that we have to have. You don't have to be a doctor of ministry or whatever. You just have to be available and willing. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for your work in and through Bill and Denise Braun, how you have put them in a position they didn't expect to be in, outside of Russia, which is where they really want to be right now, but can't. And you've brought them to Moldova, where there are many, many Ukrainian people who have had to flee for their lives. And I thank you for the opportunities you're giving them. And I just pray that you continue to sustain them, bless them. They have many months left before they go back. May they continue to be used of you as they are used here today in our church. And Father, we pray for Moldova. We pray for the Ukrainian refugees, many who are there in other countries around Ukraine. We pray for their salvation. What an opportunity, even though this war is a horrific thing and we want to see it end. We pray for the spiritual harvest. And Lord, we pray for our own lives, our own testimony, our own witness as a church, Lord. And may we take this challenge seriously and to your glory as we rely upon the empowering Holy Spirit. May we be used of you, Lord, to see many, many come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. We ask now your blessing on Sunday school and the services to follow. And may you be praised, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a wonderful day.